The modern American university has transformed from a marketplace of ideas into a battleground of ideology. Conservative students face a hostile environment where expressing traditional viewpoints can trigger protests, administrative sanctions, and social ostracism. Charlie Kirk's personal journey from college dropout to founder of Turning Point USA illustrates his central argument. Real education increasingly happens outside the classroom's progressive echo chamber. What makes this situation particularly troubling is how universities have abandoned their core mission of intellectual exploration in favor of ideological conformity. When students fear speaking their minds, when professors inject politics into every subject, and when administrators enforce speech codes that protect some viewpoints while restricting others, the very purpose of higher education is undermined. How did institutions founded on free inquiry become hostile to intellectual diversity? And more importantly, what can be done to reclaim them? What began as a well-intentioned effort to protect vulnerable students has evolved into a system of self-imposed segregation that would horrify civil rights leaders of the past. Universities now create separate dormitories, graduation ceremonies, and student centers based on identity categories, effectively reversing decades of integration progress. At Harvard, Columbia, and UCLA, segregated housing options have returned under the guise of creating affirming spaces for minority students. The psychological impact is equally troubling. These spaces reinforce the idea that certain students are perpetual victims who require special protection from opposing viewpoints. Students who graduate having spent 4 years in ideological bubbles enter society unprepared for the rough and tumble of democratic debate. They expect workplaces and public spaces to function like their campus safe spaces, demanding protection from ideas they find uncomfortable. While freedom of association remains important, safe spaces become problematic when they undermine higher education's essential purpose, exposing students to diverse perspectives and teaching them to engage with challenging ideas. Universities should be preparing students for the world as it exists, not sheltering them from it. The safe space movement ultimately produces graduates less capable of building bridges across difference and more likely to view those with opposing views as threats rather than fellow citizens. The old saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," has been reversed on modern campuses. Words are now labeled as microaggressions, deemed capable of causing psychological harm. The concept has expanded far beyond its original scope to include almost any statement that might discomfort someone from a marginalized group. The list of problematic phrases grows increasingly broad. Simple questions like, "Where are you from?" or statements such as, "America is a melting pot," and "The most qualified person should get the job," are now labeled as microaggressions at major universities. This framework creates an impossible situation for the accused. Claiming ignorance of offense is seen as evidence of unconscious bias, and the accuser becomes prosecutor, judge, and jury. The mere claim of feeling offended is considered proof of wrongdoing. Despite psychology professor Scott Lilienfeld's comprehensive review finding little scientific evidence supporting microaggression theory's core premises, the concept continues to shape campus policies, prioritizing subjective emotional responses over objective standards. Free speech zones, designated areas where expression is permitted while the rest of campus becomes effectively off-limits, represent a fundamental misunderstanding of constitutional principles. At Pierce College in Los Angeles, this zone was just 616 square feet, 0.003% of campus, requiring permits for use. At Modesto Junior College, a student was stopped from distributing copies of the Constitution on Constitution Day for being outside the designated zone. These zones are often selectively enforced, with restrictions applied more stringently against conservative viewpoints. At Kellogg Community College, students were arrested for distributing constitutional literature without permission, while progressive demonstrations frequently proceed unhindered. The impact extends beyond direct restrictions. These policies create a chilling effect where students self-censor rather than navigate bureaucratic approvals. This transforms expression from a fundamental right into a privilege granted by administrators, inverting the proper relationship between students and institutions in a free society. Traditional liberal arts education, meant to create well-rounded citizens through history, philosophy, literature, and science, has been replaced by courses that often prioritize ideology over scholarship. Modern college catalogs feature courses like The Unbearable Whiteness of Barbie and Politicizing Beyoncé, rather than classical studies. Academic research has followed suit. Examples include studies on feminist glaciology and claims that ski slopes are sexist. The academic language has become unnecessarily complex, often masking a lack of substantial content. Meanwhile, college costs have soared, with tuition increasing at nearly 4 times the rate of inflation since 1985. Students now graduate with average debts exceeding $30,000, often without gaining valuable skills or intellectual growth. Yet hope remains in the enduring wisdom of the classics. The works of Plato, Shakespeare, and Adam Smith continue to offer genuine educational value, outlasting temporary intellectual trends. Today's campus climate stems from a strategic capture of cultural institutions, inspired by Antonio Gramsci's concept of cultural hegemony, which prioritized controlling education over traditional revolutionary tactics. The transformation began in the 1960s as counterculture protesters entered academia. As they gained tenure, they shifted hiring practices to favor ideologically aligned scholars, further reinforced by government funding that supported progressive-leaning research in social sciences. This created a self-perpetuating system where hiring committees select compatible candidates and peer review favors politically aligned research. Social psychologist Jonathan Haidt documented the results. The liberal to conservative faculty ratio rose from 2-to-1 in the 1990s to nearly 12-to-1 today, with some humanities departments exceeding 30-to-1. This ideological homogeneity breeds groupthink, where assumptions go unchallenged and views become increasingly extreme. As graduates enter journalism, entertainment, corporate HR, and government bureaucracies, they carry these perspectives, driving these institutions' leftward shift. The solution isn't censorship, but better ideas. Conservatives should challenge progressive voices through reasoned argument, rather than trying to silence them. Turning Point USA, TPUSA, exemplifies this approach by defending free speech for everyone as a fundamental principle. Founded in 2012, TPUSA has become America's largest youth organization, active on over 1,000 campuses. Their strategy centers on direct student outreach, engaging peers in discussions about economic freedom and constitutional principles. These interactions expose students to conservative ideas often missing from classrooms. TPUSA amplifies its impact through major conferences, activist training, and social media outreach to millions. The organization stands out for its modern communication approach and rejection of victimhood narratives. The campus battle represents a struggle for higher education's soul and America's future. Teaching students to silence opposition rather than debate it undermines self-governance. If enough students embrace open inquiry, individual rights, and reasoned debate, higher education and civic life can flourish again. The outcome may determine whether America remains free or succumbs to ideological conformity.